Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 276. I'm Josiah Sat4, the villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I hope you all had a great and safe Thanksgiving holiday. I'm back finally. It feels like it's been a while. I'm glad I took a break off because I've been so busy, but I'll go into that shortly. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 176, we entitled hashtag Iron Sharpens Iron. This one confuses me a little bit. The only way I know I would have entitled this podcast, or that one in particular, that title, is one of my best friends, Pablo, and I are two different people, but we're best friends, and the way we would always talk and dissect things as men, you know, with different ideals and thoughts and opinions, we would always change each other's minds or open each other's minds up to different thoughts. And again, you know, just thought processes and ideals. So he had told me a long time ago that he's like, man, every time I hang out with you, dude, like we have these deep fucking conversations. And he's like, you keep me sharp, dude. And I'm like, nah, dude, likewise. Like I feel the same way. He's like, dude, iron sharpens iron. So it was just a beautiful thing between he and I. So it must have been one of those stories just like this one I just mentioned on why I did. If it's not, go back 100 episodes ago, which constitutes to 2 years ago, and you guys can tell me if I'm full of shit, but Pablo always rings through to me for that particular line. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain, play catch up, hit NFL, big game talk, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, then go into what the fuck news. Cartwheeling choir teacher arrested for indecent exposure. Dope. Teacher of the year. Mom allegedly claimed daughter was kidnapped so cops would find her car. So she goes to her car. Her car is missing. I'd like to put out an APB on my car. It's missing. She said that her daughter was kidnapped so she can find her car, which the daughter did have the car. I know. Crazy. We hit Jesus shit list. Washington woman stabbed date, intended to eat his heart in quest to become serial killer. It's not the worst date I've had, I think. Comic talk, comic news, Ben Affleck won't direct solo Batman film. Star Wars Rogue One, Diego Luna to star in Scarface reboot. I still haven't heard any news on that yet. It's been 2 years by now. Brian Michael Bendis goes out of his way for Boeing accident, then rocks some comic reviews. Nightwing number 9, all new X-Men number 18. Champions number 4 and number 5. Batman number 16, and Silver Surfer Requiem number 3. Asad Ribic was doing the art for that. It's an older title that came out, geez, I was thinking like 2004, 2007-ish, around there that time, and Asad Ribic did the art. So I'm going to mention his name several times throughout this podcast, especially later on. All right, guys, bullet points real quick. I'm going to hit my fucked up schedule this last week. I've gotten little sleep. I don't feel rested. I feel burnt out. I feel tired. I'm overworked. I know that. I'm never stressed. I'm overwhelmed a lot right now. And it's been a crazy hectic schedule since the day before Thanksgiving Wednesday, and had full Thanksgiving day off. And it was great to spend so much time with my family, first of all, and even loved ones with the lady and her family. It was a beautiful day. I had a great time. And then Friday was back to both jobs, Saturday back to the second job, yesterday worked, and I don't have time to record. It's weird. And it's crunch time for this holiday season. So the end of the year, when everyone looks at Thanksgiving, 4-day, 5-day weekend, Christmas, 5-day weekend, New Year's, 3-to-4-day weekend, I don't have the luxury of that time off. It's like I get scheduled more at the second job, and it sucks up my time. So it's really crunch time. It's grind time for me, which I'm used to. It's just this one kind of hurt a little bit. But it's good to know that I'm back in my comfort zone where it's like, you know what? Yeah, this is where Josias does his best work because he's just ready to run and gun and make sure everything's taken care of. That's pretty much my weekend. Just working, busy working. I didn't know if I was going to have time to record this week at all. Today's the 4th of December. So we finally made it to December. We got the holidays coming up. And I do have the end of the year best of podcast coming up, which is 3 weeks after today's recording. I still got to figure out the best schedule to do it, but I have started my list already. It's kind of fun to rehash and dip into all the things that I've read and seen and caught this year. But it's still work that I have to go through and refine just a little bit more. So I have my date that I'm going to record it on for the most part. It's just time and figuring out the best time to do everything with family coming out from everywhere and visiting everyone and making sure I do the family thing on top of still juggling the second job in the office and everything that I normally do. So that's pretty much catch up. One thing I learned, or several things I learned Thanksgiving Day though, this is just one of my small bullet points and I'm going to end it here before I jump into comic talk. I'm going to talk about what I learned on Thanksgiving Day. All right, I think I'm hip. I'm 39 years old, just turned 39 in October. I'm hip with the lingo, with the slang. I'm a dope fucking cat. I mean, who says fucking that? I'm fucking fly. I'm hip. I know what's fucking. I know the hip shit that's going on, right? Because I'm fucking cool. As we get older, we lose touch of what's going on in the world. So I don't have any kids. Unfortunately, I wasn't blessed with any kids of my own. So everything that I have to see and that I see, I have to witness through my friends and girlfriend and family and nephews and nieces, like their kids, and not live through them, but like see things through their eyes. Like I don't see these kids every day, so I don't know what their new styles are. But again, Thanksgiving Day, I learned what a VSCO girl is. I learned what an E-boy is. I learned what an E-girl is. So everyone that's my age or older, so Eric, this is for you. Lynn, this is for you. Geez, David, you got little daughters. Now, again, I think I'm hip. New age trends and an odd take on them in the new world we're living in. So these things exist now. The VSCO girl is a weird teenage, I don't want to say teen bopper thing. E-boy is, the E comes from the emo style. But I'm not out of touch with our younger generation, or I don't think I am. Although learning this that day, I'm like, holy shit, maybe I'm out of fucking touch. Like when I was growing up, we had our gangsters straight up. Our greasers, our rockabillies, our emo kids, our goth kids, our punkers, our ravers, our bikers, our skaters, skateboarders, and rollerbladers for that matter. We had our jocks, just a different terminology for all of that nowadays, all mixed up into one, which is weird. So the e-boy is more like a emo goth kid, but not as dark or brooding or depressed. They're like, it's weird. If you guys have kids, if you guys know about this thing, please tell me about it. Because now, once I heard it from my niece and from one of the boys, I'm like, this is a fucking thing. And to hear kids talk about it that are going through it, it's like even they don't like it. And they understand what category they fall in a weird way. And they even banish each in their own way, which is hysterical to me. It's a fucking thing. So who would have fucking known? So anyone that has nephews and nieces, anyone that's my age, if you guys are fucking hip, you guys should know this because you guys should be talking to your kids regardless. I mean, granted, if they're toddlers, of course not. But if you have kids that are in junior high school, even late elementary, even early high school, freshman shit, like this is a thing that I had no idea existed. All right, guys. Fuck me. New age fucking terminology. I'll be right back. Give me a few. I'll be back with some comic talk.
2, 1.
What's up, guys? This is Sholomani Dueña, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai. This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk. And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Woo. All right, welcome to Comic Talk. I'm glad I cut where I did with the cops jumping by my house real quick. Not my house. Okay, guys, we're going to hit some Comic Talk. Godzilla versus King Kong bumped 8 months. Those waiting to see two of the greatest monsters go head-to-head will have to wait a little bit longer. The Monster Universe has had its up and downs financially, while Kong Skull Island made $566 million and Godzilla made $524 million. They were financial successes, but Godzilla King of the Monsters only brought in $385 million. Technically, it's kind of a bust, so they're going to push that a little bit further out. Next one's going to be Ghostbusters 2020's new title confirmed. Trailer is likely to arrive soon. The first theatrical trailer for Ghostbusters 2020 has reportedly been rated, confirming the sequel's official title. The British Board of Film Classification, the British equivalent to the MPAA. And the new title was supposed to be Ghostbusters Afterlife. All right, guys, we have some DC talk. It's going to be Crisis on Infinite Earths. So, there's a lot of things that's going to happen. If you guys watch the WB, all those shows, I don't watch anything. I was watching The Flash and I was loving The Flash. Saw the first two seasons of that and any of these crossover events. I always love watching because as a fan and growing up with everything, the mythos, it's just cool to see a giant crossover, especially doing it on film, on TV, is dope to see. I just don't watch TV, but this one, hopefully I can find some type of way to watch it. I doubt it, but again, Kevin Conroy is going to be one of the Bruce Waynes. They're going to use Kingdom Come Superman, Kingdom Come Batman, so just intrigued by that. Abrams, Berlanti likely frontrunners to produce Green Lantern Corps movie. Warner Brothers long gestating Green Lantern Corps movie could find a producer in either J.J. Abrams or Greg Berlanti. J.J. Abrams is in charge of Star Wars right now, and Greg Berlanti does all the CW stuff for the most part. Next one is going to be the Batman may lead to multiple solo villain spinoff films. While the full plot details for the Batman are still under wraps, the film is set to feature appearances from iconic Batman enemies, the Penguin, the Riddler, and Catwoman. However, Warner Brothers and DC Films may have larger plans for the Caped Crusaders adversaries. You know what? Give it to Homeboy again, who fucked up on the Joker movie, and let's just give them new origins or origins that don't exist, because that seems to be working for DC, the extended universe. I don't know. DC's game plan, extended universe, I still don't get. Next one's going to be Harley Quinn. Birds of Prey reshoots reportedly improved audience reaction. On top of that, we have Flash Warner Brothers moving forward with Ezra Miller film. Eventually, how do you guys feel about that? That's why I don't trust DC and their movies and what they're doing with the DC Extended Universe. Black Adam, Dwayne Johnson wants Jumanji co-star Kevin Hart in the film. How does anybody say no to The Rock? You kind of don't. And let's forget, you know, about that car accident that he had recently where it kind of looks like he was driving and it kind of looks like his bodyguard kind of took the spot of him as they were down this ditch. Hey, dude, look, I don't want Homeboy to get hurt. I don't think he's funny. A lot of people do. He's too neurotic for me. I don't need neuroticism. Like, there's enough crazy shit going on in the world for someone to be popping off all the time. Next one is going to be DC's Universe's Harley Quinn to air first episode on TBS. Fans of the DC anti-hero Harley Quinn are in for a treat as the first episode of the new DC Universe adult animated series will soon air on cable television. According to TV Line, the premiere episode will debut this week on Sunday, December 8th at 11 p.m. Next one is going to be Zack Snyder confirms his Justice League cut exists with photo evidence. This picture came out today, December 4th. A bunch of you guys probably have seen it. Zack Snyder confirms the existence of his Snyder cut of the Justice League with a piece of pretty compelling photographic evidence. Snyder shared an image to his Vero account of several film reels, shipping containers with the labels ZS, JL Director's Cut. Okay, this is a big thing that's been a controversy for a long time. He was directing Justice League after he was close to completing this project. He had some medical issues and I think a death in the family, honestly. Sad for anyone to lose anyone. He had to leave the project and they hired Joss Whedon to pick up and complete directing the Justice League movie. From there, there's controversy like, okay, was this the movie he intended? Batman v Superman was not good, but Batman was not the worst thing in that movie. The Justice League movie, there are so many bad things about that movie. But having two different directors with two different visions working on something. Joss Whedon, I don't think anybody really liked Justice League. So the fact that this is a rumor and we're all still kind of curious about it. But at the same time, do I care? I really don't. Like, I don't think it's going to be any better or any worse. This is a Marvel. Planet of the Apes. Disney is developing its first Fox franchise. So with the merger acquisition, Marvel does now have, Disney does have access to Planet of the Apes. I loved the last franchise with James Franco and Caesar. Oh my gosh, stop action guy. Blue screen actor. You guys know who he is. He was the dude from Lord of the Rings that wanted the ring. The little scary fool. I hated those movies too. So, yeah. How do you guys feel about that? I think they should have waited a little bit more. Rumor Disney may be working on a series featuring Star Wars' Dr. Aphra, the first character outside the movies to get their own Marvel comic, originally working with Dark Lord of the Sith, Darth Vader. Aphra later went on to run from Vader. Elsewhere, she's usually found with murder bots, 000 and BD1. She's a dope character in the comics so far, and very intriguing. She's worth checking out and jumping into, but give me an Ahsoka movie would be pretty sick too. The Mandalorian airs a different day of the week for the Rise of Skywalker's debut. The week of the Rise of Skywalker's debut will see the Mandalorian's 7th episode premiere a few days early. The 7th episode of the Disney Plus series will be available to subscribers on Wednesday, December 18th, as opposed to its usual Friday release date. I love the show already, and it's not just because of the child. I just love the show. And again, a classic take on gunslingers and a Western in space and a lone wolf and cub version of it. I'm loving it so far. The Black Widow teaser trailer dropped yesterday, so December 3rd. How do you guys feel about it? If you guys have seen it, dope. What are your opinions? Hit me up. How do you guys feel about it? And if you guys haven't seen it, just put in Black Widow, YouTube it. Let me know what you think regardless. That's all we got. You know what? I'm going to hit some comic reviews. I'm really proud of these ones. I really enjoyed what I read, and I want to keep this short and sweet. We'll see how that works out. First review is going to be Absolute Carnage, number 5. It's written by Donny Cates. The artist is Ryan Stegman. The inks are by J.P. Mayer, and the colors are from Frank Martin. This starts off a long time ago on Rikers Island Penitentiary, where we get a flashback scene of the first encounter between Eddie Brock and Cletus Cassidy in prison, where they quickly have no respect for one another. I learned something about this in particular. Mark Bagley, who helped co-create Carnage, actually did the art for this particular scene. He got to revisit the reintroduction of this way back when in the 90s, early 90s, and to see it. And to see him revisit this in that way, like it's technically his baby. So it's kind of cool to learn that. So this is going down. The pages now jump as this hulked out Dark Carnage now is getting attacked by the CODIS-infused Eddie Brock Venom now. But not with his regular symbiote, because Dark Carnage was able to pull it. As they're scrapping it out now, Carnage says, "It's all so wonderful, isn't it, Daddy? It's all happening. Can you hear him breathing? He's almost awake." Eddie says to himself, "He's right. Shut up and die. Since I absorbed the codices, I can sense the hype. Never felt anything like it. I can hear them all. I can hear them screaming. Carnage, you know, we can hear you too. We are everywhere. Do you know what I see? I can see all of your little friends choking and falling. As we see the crew now fighting hard, but outnumbered. So we see the Thing, we see Wolverine, we see Captain America, we see Miles Morales. Just getting outnumbered and getting fucked up. Drowning in red. Suffocating in my wake. You know what happens next, don't you? As Dark Carnage now gets the upper hand. And Venom, or Eddie Brock and this CODIS-infused symbiote. Cletus, please, I'm begging you, for once in your life, shut the fuck up. I don't care about you or your God. I don't care about any of this. All I know is that I'm taking my symbiote back, and I'm putting you back in your grave. And if I were you, I'd take a look at my friends again, because you're about to get your ass kicked. As we see Captain Marvel show up, Deathlok, Morbius, Cloak and Dagger, we see Deadpool show up, finally arrive to the scene to help out, even things out, as they both go at it, scrapping again. This time now with Eddie dishing out more of the fight, more of the punishment. As this rally gives the other heroes, the Hulk, actually not really the Hulk yet, Wolverine, Captain America, Miles Morales, a chance to fight back and turn things around. As we get now panels of Spider-Man versus Norman Osborn Carnage. And they're just great little fight. And the way Ryan Stegman draws this scene, and this whole fucking book is dope. Carnage going at it with both of them going down. Spider-Man finally lands like this killer fucking hit. And the way he looks and talks to these kids is dope. He's like, you kids are safe. And just, he's exhausted and he knocks the fuck out. So, Spider-Man goes down too. That's what happens. They both kind of get knocked out. The fight then jumps back now to this Eddie Brock Venom versus the Dark Carnage, where Cletus makes a huge threat to Eddie now. Carnage, you don't see it. Ha ha, you're going to lose. Eddie, I don't care. As long as I kill you, you son of a... Cletus, ha ha, you're going to lose your little boy. As this hulked out Grimdall symbiote appears to detach from Cletus's body now, or his carcass body. Like, Cletus Cassidy has been a carcass for so long, and this Venom symbiote, this Carnage symbiote, this Null Grendel symbiote has kept him together since he's been introduced. And now the symbiote is going after Dylan. And Dylan still thinks that Eddie Brock is his brother. And it's cool because now we see Eddie works the way he works to protect his son, Dylan. But then we get an odd turn with Dylan as the symbiote is about to attack, the Carnage symbiote is about to attack Dylan. And I won't necessarily spoil this part, but he's able to do something. And it's a great splash page, and it's legit a beautiful splash page. Pick up the title, guys. Absolute Carnage number 5. It's a 5-issue arc. It was supposed to be a 4-issue arc. They extended it to 5, and this is the last issue. It's great. It's worth reading. Check it out. Pick it up. I'm trying to make it and sell it and make it sound as intriguing as I can so you guys can pick it up. And we see Carnage. Ha ha. It's over, Daddy. Little Dylan is the last piece. And he's like, no, I won't let you. As he's now detaching from his symbiote to stop this now. And that page, these panels are dope. Again, Ryan Stegman. You don't get it, do you? You've already lost. I kill the boy. I take his codex. Maybe that's enough. Maybe then I wake up our God. I'm willing to take that bet. But if you kill me to protect him, if you take your symbiote back, you complete the circle. You reconnect the hive. And you wake up Grandpa. Eddie's like, you wanted this. Wanted me to gather the other pieces for you. Carnage, you see, I win, I win. I lose, I win. I kill your son, or you kill the world. Eddie's fine as he's taking off his symbiote. And he's like, it's beautiful pages. Fuck the world. As he creates this sword with the Venom symbiote, with so many, the symbiotes that have infected so many heroes before. And it's really dope. He creates this beautiful sword to impale this Dark Carnage. Get the hell away from my son. Hence the whole fuck the world. He did what he could to protect his son Dylan. And where we see Ryan Stegman again just shows off his artist chops. Like, it's worth checking out. Pick it up, please, guys. So now we see the Venom symbiote say, Eddie, no, what have you done? I can feel them, Eddie. The hive, it's complete. I can't Stop it. Eddie. Eddie, it's him. I can see him in his cage. And he can hear us. Nall. He is awake. As we get pages and panels of the context that's going on. But not just as Nall awakes, but also with Eddie and what he's able to see. And the symbiote continues. He is free. And he is coming, Eddie. For all of us. For everything. God. God help us all. The ending is just cool, weird, funny ending interaction between Spider-Man and the Peter Parker and Eddie Brock at the end is just one of those, like, thanks a lot for helping me out. Like, these characters should not like each other. They should hate each other, and to a certain degree, they do hate each other. And the way this story went, it's going to go into another arc that, it's going to go into Venom Island, that new arc that's going to come out, I think, in January. Still from Donnie Cates, and I believe Mark Bagley is going to be doing the art for that. Next two are going to be quick, hopefully. Books of the Week still. King Thor, Marvel title. King Thor number 2, Jason Aaron is the writer. Esad Ribic is the artist. Esadribic, Esad Ribic. Eva Scorsina is the inker. So the Girls of Thunder, his daughters, Old Man Thor. Prior issue number 1 saw the girls on a mission to find any living gods to help out, but got instructions to start at the beginning of time. All while old King Thor fights his hardest against his brother Loki with the power of the Necro Sword. The Necro Sword is the All Black, and I'll go into that, although I did talk about that. I believe it was called the Necro Black or the All Sword. I find that one, it was about a month or two ago. As Loki, the All-Butcher now with all this power. Where both brothers now have landed on this planet. This is takes up right after that. And they happen to land on Midgard. Thor's like, impossible. Gore died, Gore says. And this is all a lot of dialogue, but the way Jason Aaron writes, I love. Gore says, I did, didn't I? Thor, I saw your headless corpse turned to ashes. I threw the entire planet into a black hole. Gore. Yes. Along with my weapon. All black. The Necro Sword. The living weapon I'd been bonded to for thousands of years. It did not let go of me. Not even in death. So when the weapon returned, I was always part of it. Trapped inside. As we see what Gore does to Thor out of hate as he's got him shackled up, and he just keeps stabbing him and creating daggers and fucking up an already fucked up, beat up, jacked up Thor. And it's really just the panels. Again, Esad Ribic, pull it up, guys. And pick up this fucking title because it's dope. Do you know what I was doing all that time? Locked inside an endlessly black and utterly silent necro prison. I was smiling. At last, Gore knew peace. At last, I'd found a world without gods. But now here I am, ripped back into the misery of life, back to face everything I reviled all over again. And why is that? Was it because I yearned to finally finish my holy quest of slaying every worthless deity ever born? No, I'd found my tranquility. It was because of you, wasn't it? Loki, the almighty god of the anti-axiom. The god who delights in everything I despise. What lie do you have for me today, butcher of truths? And it's really cool as Loki offers up a gift. Like, he's freaked out. They're both fucked up. Thor, prior issue, literally pulled out his guts because he got his stomach torn open, tied Mjolnir around his entrails for the most part, wraps his hammer and entrails around Loki's neck and shoots him to the fucking sun. It's dope. It was gnarly. It was a great first issue. So he's fucked up already. And now Loki being Loki, he offers up a gift. And it's interesting. The last of the All Black. But do we trust Loki? Gore knows how to use and harness this power. And restrains the brothers now. Calling out Loki once again. Telling Thor now the reason why Loki sought out this power of the All Black. It's really interesting to finally kill his brother. With no remorse or grief. As he has them now shackled. And Thor makes a move. And he's like, I'm done with you fucking gods. I'm tired of you. Like, you brought me back for fucking this. Like, I've been around the whole time. I was happy and you guys had to fuck up my happiness. In a weird way, I love Gore, but I'm a villain guy. But like they give him a weird sort of heart, like in a weird twisted way. Maybe it's the twisted in me. As he has him shackled now, but this move Thor is able to make buys him some time. As he calls for Mjolnir now. And he also asks his brother, Loki, for help now. And as we see pages and panels of Mjolnir coming back, stopping by Asgard, and before it finally returns, we also see what Gore is up to. So the All Black with Loki was thrown into the sun, and the Necro, the All Black, took over the sun. And what Gore does is he creates this giant weapon called the Annie Blade. The Planet Cleaver. And Asad Ribic and his art are just always gorgeous and always amazing. But Jason Aaron is such an incredible writer, and the way he's written Thor for so long. So much context, so much dialogue, and just so much narrative. And the way Asad Ribic just matches everything tonally, it has always been gorgeous together. Like, these guys have been working on this title, Thor, for 7 years to get the voice of Thor and the character of Thor that Jason Aaron has given him in this weird 7 year stretch has been beautiful to see. And they finally get to tell their story after 7 years is a great ending. And it's not even the ending yet. Anyways, I just want to give these guys props because I loved it. And Adam, my boy, did get me into Thor, the God Butcher, Gore, the God Bomb. Those stories are the beginning of the Thor run, and the art and the writing is amazing. So look back, pull those up, try to find those. Alright, now we see the scene now jumps finally to the daughters, still searching for answers, looking for help, and trying to find the quote-unquote beginning as instructed. Two of the three are ready to bail on this mission and wanting to help their father now. And Ellie still wants answers, one of the three, as they come across a planet that began with a prayer. And this one I kind of want to go into. Like, there was a planet, and it was desolated, and it was dark, and a lot of bad things were happening on this planet. And this one girl made a prayer to Thor, and she was able to get help. And it's just really interesting, because I don't want to go too much in a certain way on this review, but it's really dope. Jumps back now to Loki in an ironic way. He's still shackled up, and in that scene is just beautiful. Still beat up and shackled. And Loki's like, I can hear what you're doing. Stop it. He's jacked up. He's beat up. It annoys me more than dying. The woman says, am I not doing it right? I've never had to pray before. Thor has always provided. You should live these final moments with no regard whatsoever for eternal reward or punishment, Loki answers. For none awaits you now. Leave me be. The woman says, I will pray for you as well, brother of Thor. We all will. As this war is happening and Thor is trying to fight, even asking his brother for help. So now we see Thor now go to work. Go to space, go to the sun, trying to figure out a way to stop Gore, but leading the fight away from Midgard, so away from Earth, to hopefully use the Earth's sun against him. And there is some great and powerful dialogue from Gore now on how he views things and life and death and hope in a weird way that oddly make sense. And again, in an insanely odd and twisted way to me. But Jason Aaron's writing is always worth reading and finding, whether it's his creator or own stuff with Southern Bastards, anything he's ever written for Wolverine and the X-Men, anything he's done across the board for any title, he's worth reading, as he just continues to rip into Thor now, so Gore, over and over again, like just fucking him up, stabbing him in the most brutal ways, as we see Loki finally show up to help out, but also quickly gets his ass kicked and gets his arm chopped off by fucking Gore. Gore is the God Butcher. They call him the God Butcher for a certain reason. And it's really interesting to see, though. So piece by piece, we see Thor, Loki, I can't hold back the darkness. Loki, I never asked you to. So, now Gore has both brothers fucked up on the ropes, and they're getting enveloped by this darkness, by the All Black. And it's like this giant ocean, this planet ocean of darkness. And that's where he says, Loki, I can't hold back the darkness as they're little by little drowning. I never asked you to. Let me die, damn it. Thor says, if this is it, brother, I want you to know I lied. Mother never gave up hope. Not when it came to you. Her dying words to me were, never let go of your brother. And someday, he'll save us all. The universe is a desiccated husk. Soon, there will only be entropy. This is the final words. In an inert sea of all-consuming nothingness. These are but life's final twitches. Behold, the dying of the life. That was issue number 2. It was beautiful. I'm still going to continue on. I got a few more minutes. King Thor number 3. Still Jason Aaron, Assad Ribic. This one, in the end, starts off. In the end, there is darkness. A roiling, living ocean of it. That moves upon the face of the deep. Engulfing all that is. Including God. But then God says, let there be thunder. And there is thunder. A raging storm of it. As we see some lightning, and Thor screams, Loki, brother, do you live? We see his head pop out of this darkness, but not enough. As we see Thor now fight this through this necro ocean, drowning him, but trying to get out. And it's really cool with these pages, these panels, we see Gore drowns him further, like he pops out his head, and Gore's like, why don't you just be a good and just die already? And it just those fucked up scenes are beautiful to see, but the small things like that are insane and gnarly in the way the art is portrayed is gorgeous. We thought this universe was completely dead and lifeless, but it turns out gods find a way, and we found them. As the story now breaks down their journey this far, so the girls of, you know, Thor, his granddaughters or his daughters, finally found what happened on this planet with this girl with prayer. All the gods that were left that had their planets, their worlds destroyed, that had no one to pray for them anymore, landed on this planet for solitude and just to go in hiding and to never return again. They were able to convince all the gods that were there off of a single prayer from one person. They are talking into helping Thor. It's like, Gore's back. He destroyed my world. He destroyed my people. Yeah, let's go. Let's go get him. So it's really just dope and beautiful to see. So we get to see the girls go to work now in a beautiful and humbling way. It's just cool to see these gods all working together, even though the three don't quite to see eye to eye on the matter. And again, asking these gods for help. We're as guardians. We don't pray. We act. It's like, and one of the sisters to get these gods going, working together, it's like, this woman's a statue. It's like, yeah, let's pray for her forgiveness or for helping us out or for having that hope, that spark. And the sisters are like, we're not going to pray for her. We're gods. We don't pray. This is, they're the sisters. And she's like, and it's really cool. Again, this not even conflict between them. But what he says, we're the goddesses of thunder. We can do both. Like, you know, we were not above anything. So it's really cool, that aspect of it. And they're able to reach out to the others. And that Thor has affected as well. Like, Thor saved my world. It's like, you know what? Yeah, he's the reason why these other gods are alive. So it's, they all go and arrive. They help out Thor now in this battle against Gore, the god butcher. So we see the girls arrive, back up Thor, and a great fight scene, and help again, but one of them is able to behead Gore, but things get really dark now, so they even get worse, enveloping all of Midgard. There's this darkness. Thor is finally out to help, and only has one request to his daughters: find Loki and keep him fucking safe. But in doing so, gives Loki one last job to complete in a weird way. Gore pulled out his eyes, stabbed out Loki's eyes after he chopped off his hand. So like I said, took him apart piece by piece is exactly what Gore has done to him. As it jumps now to the fight now, Thor says, "Thank the dead Norns. That little one's prayer may have saved us all. We fight for the fate of all existence, my friends. We've called ourselves gods for billions of eons. Today we either earn that title or die alongside all the tomorrows," as they all go to work. And the pages, especially towards the end of this, are gorgeous. Assad Rubik is running with the ball because the way he draws what Gore now is able to do is create this necroverse type of thing now that is scary to see. Thor has watched, and then the story ends this way. Thor has watched the universe dying for more years than can be counted. He's seen planets go fallow, stars grow cold, vast spaceways become still as clogged arteries. He's seen this and been able to do nothing to stop it. Nothing but recreate life on Midgard. Too little. What is one little garden in an ocean of decay? But now Thor watches the universe come to life around him with whirling space tornadoes of living, butchering blackness, with God-eating berserker moons, with black-flamed comets of rage and hate, with the all-consuming, all-blackened spirit of Gore. "I wanted to save the world," Thor thinks, "to save all the worlds, to save something, at least. Some small piece of infinity. But now, as Thor says, by the gods of all the ages," Gore, again, this beautiful panel. "Yes, come, little king. Now I have to kill it," thinks the last king of the gods. "I have to kill it all." As Gore says, "Welcome to the all black, the necroverse." It's a story that is 7 years in the making. He's been writing Thor ever since they haven't had a Thor writer. He introduced Jane Foster as Thor. And even that, when people were bashing it when it came out, it's a beautiful story. They're all trade paperbacks. If you want to know about those stories, let me know. I can send you to the right place if you guys want to start off on Thor, the God Butcher. It is a beautiful story with beautiful art. The same two guys that are writing it seven years later aren't going to end their arc, their story, with this story, King Thor. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Share the podcast if you guys can. Rate me, please, if you get the chance. If not, I got the end of the year podcast coming up soon. Thoughts and opinions on movies, TV shows, comics, not gaming. I'm going to try to do music, but I doubt it. But that's all I got, guys. It's hard work. It's a lot of work. It's fun work. I love it. I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.